two timeouts still for Peyton. 103 decibels, and they're just getting started as Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down, the kick clears the line, and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! LA will play for the Lombardi! Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime!
David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Well, I mean, how happy can anybody really be within the sound of my voice? Yes, mazel tov to the Patriots and the Rams fans out there, but even they have to concede, because it's a fact. 60 minutes away from the great abyss of the offseason, basketball, hockey, baseball. Blech. All right. You know what? Let's not get sad just yet. We still do have that one important football game looming in less than 2 weeks from now. It's fewer than, right, MOVP? I'm pretty sure.
I got to look this one up.
I mean, I graduated with a journalism degree myself, but that was a long time ago. It should be fresher in your mind.
I know. I'm going less than.
It's your preference.
Come on.
Fresno State, but it's your preference.
You just
sound like you know.
You majored in like hotel management or phys ed or something like that.
These are football fans listening. Let's be real.
You're right.
They're going to say.
It's infotainment, though. Anyway, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Presented by Head & Shoulders, the voice you just heard there. It's a fellow who's seated to my immediate left. He is one half of the future pro football team called the Handsome Daves. It is it's David Carr. I was waiting for your song to kick in.
I know.
We don't have your song yet.
Keep using yours in my brain.
You're right. We don't have your song, and we still don't have your jersey hung on the Digital Wall of Fame, but that will soon be rectified.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
The latter, at least. Anyhow, how are you, fella? What's happening? Did you get to watch the football games on Sunday?
I did.
There were two of them.
They were good ones.
They were good.
They were fantastic football games.
All right, let's
depends on who you're rooting for, though, I guess.
Well, right. Yeah, that's right. A good caveat to lay down. Let's just start right there. I don't want to tell you. I'll ask you some questions along the way. But okay. I just want to start with this, David Carr, veteran of many big-time football games. In fact, your story about almost having to go in and play in the NFC title game is
a great one.
Yeah, maybe you can share that with the DDFP listener just a bit. Otherwise, find him on Twitter or Instagram, and he'll share that yarn with you there. All right, I'm just going
to
say, all right, so?
What did I think?
What jumps out to you? What's the story? What's the thing today to you?
Unfortunately, it's that the Patriots are fantastic and Tom Brady is excellent. And watching what he did yesterday, I know this is going to get beat forever for the next 2 weeks at least, and how great he is. But the throws that he made down the field, the way that he morphed his offense from the first drive when Andy Reid, crazy enough, kicks the ball to them, I'm sitting there thinking, why would you do that? If you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you just had success against the Colts by getting out to an early lead at home and then letting your defensive ends go after him, and he had a pretty good offensive line, why would you then come and play the Patriots who have been running the football consistently for the last 2 months, and you know that's what they're going to do to your weak defensive line, especially against the run, kick the ball to them and let them go on a, I don't even know, was it 10-minute drive, it seemed like, and score, take the lead, and pretty much control the game.
It felt soul-sucking.
So crazy to me that he would do that.
And I know it wasn't as cold as it was supposed to be, but as Maurice Jones-Drew pointed out a week ago about the Chargers game, the clever little addition to everything else that you just described is it keeps Patrick Mahomes chill on the sideline
instead of keeping him warm. And they won the toss. I said Andy Reid has some situational errors in his game where he doesn't quite know. And I can't imagine him sitting in a staff room with other competent coaches saying, yeah, if we win the toss, we're going to kick it to Tom Brady. We're going to see if he'll hand the ball off and take Patrick Mahomes out of the game. You took Patrick Mahomes out of the game from the start.
Yeah.
And then that was crazy to me. And then how they morphed, right? So then he's the last drive at the end of regulation, and he turns in to Tom Brady. And he says, well, we don't need to run the football. We don't need to play this old school 2000 version or 1990 version of football. We can now spread you out and chop you up and go down the field and score, put the game into overtime. And so he was great. He just was great. And it's crazy because he's 41 years old, and he keeps making throws and keeps – I mean, he just makes everyone look bad. It's fantastic.
It's crazy. And I have attributed it as of a week ago to not so much Brady as it is Belichick, who I've determined is a witch. That's the only way.
It's
because
the only reason.
Why would James White be good? Why would Julian Edelman be as productive as he is? That's the only conclusion I can reach is how does a team take away both Tyreek Hill and any semblance of a running game and barely let Travis Kelce touch the ball?
Where was Travis Kelce?
How is that possible? Voodoo is the only answer.
Do they play with a 12th person? Perhaps. Sometimes we can't see the deep part of the secondary. But I don't
get what goes on out there. And the larger question is, why can't the other 31 teams figure out what Belichick is doing?
Just do the same things they do, but they can't because they do everything. And that's the real problem when it comes down to it. And it was a perfect picture from that first drive to the last in regulation. It was a picture of why the Patriots are so good, because they can play any style of football you want. I'm sitting there with Derek on the couch, right, watching this game because he's in my house. And
Derek who?
My brother. And he plays for the Oakland Raiders, plays against the Kansas City Chiefs a lot, right? And he says, you know what? This is what's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to do this, then they're going to do this, and they're going to do this. If they can adapt and adjust at each level of progression that Bob Sutton's going to transition through, then they're going to be fine. And the Patriots were one step ahead of them at every jump. Every time he transitioned, they were already into the next thing. Every time they transitioned to a new defense, he was already onto the next thing. And they were playing catch-up the whole time. And no one else can do it as well.
And is it, you know, it has, the answer must be Belichick, not McDaniels, not Flores, because of course Patricia's gone. How can they survive that? The defense tuned it up.
Well,
just at the right time, and they're dominating these teams.
Well, that's what the beauty of Belichick is. Not only did his defense have a fantastic plan and executed it perfectly, he also goes in and taps into the offensive side of the ball and says, "Well, here's what they can't say." I guarantee, talking to Willie and talking to these guys. When he goes into the meetings with the offensive guys and Tom Brady, he's saying, hey, this is what they do. This is how you could take advantage of it. This is what we would do to you, right? And so he has the whole thing. It's a big picture thing. So many times now we see, and Sean McVay is a little bit like that, which is an interesting Super Bowl matchup, because Sean McVay will go into the defensive side and he'll say, hey, this is what you guys should do. This is what they would do to attack you. So I think it's really interesting, the matchup. But Belichick, that's what the beauty is he just has both sides of the ball down.
That's adjacent to something that I've talked about with a few fellows who I've watched football for the last couple of decades with, namely, here comes some name drops, okay. Adam Carolla and the famous Cousin Sal now. He's got a famous family himself. And we have talked about for 20 years that what Belichick does – and then you see Andy Reid with the taking the kick. Somehow he always knows, he always does what you know as an objective fan or as a fan of the other team. He does what you don't want him to do.
Oh, like worst fears realized.
Oh, right. It's fourth and one. Like, please punt it here, Bella. Don't go for it because I know you're going to get it if you go
right
for it here. That kind of thing.
Yep.
And I think that he also, his voodoo has cast a spell on all the other teams. Andy Reid would always take the ball
in that situation.
But
somehow he
has, Belichick has Andy Reid outthinking himself. Am I right or is that crazy?
I envision Andy Reid sitting in his coach's office and there's a picture of Belichick on the wall and he's just staring at it saying, what are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? And he's having a conversation with himself and Belichick doesn't care because he already knows what Belichick is going to do. Andy Reid is the one that isn't sure what either one of them should do and they screw it up.
Isn't that right? Okay. We have so much to talk about here and we're just jumping into it. First thing, I know the second half was, back and forth and exciting plays and controversial plays and everything else in Arrowhead.
Uh-huh.
One thing I point back to, and I think people, as they get further away from that game, Chiefs fans will wring their hands about, is, and we're sitting at 14-0 at that point, and I said, I cannot believe that they can't figure out how to at least give Tyreek Hill a touch. He's the one guy.
They've done it so well all year.
Nobody, yes, yeah. Find a way to put the ball in 10's hands. Finally, they do. Yep. Patrick Mahomes throws that strike downfield.
Yep.
That, and then right after that, Mahomes takes the sack, and it's right on the border of, do you kick a field goal here? Do you try for a field goal? Again, I think this is Andy Reid thinking, I can't give the ball there, but normally he would have tried a field goal there. I think coming away with 0 points was pretty rough, even though they come out in the second half, they go down the field, and it's 14-7, and now we have a game. I feel like that was a monumental
huge moment
in the game.
Yeah, I completely agree. And unfortunately, that's the way the Chiefs have played all year, really. And when you think about it, we're sitting there watching the game, and it's chunk. It's like, that's all we keep thinking is it's chunk plays,
right?
It's like, oh, he's going to miss a throw. He'll overshoot one. He misses a touchdown pass. He'll make it up, and he does. And then he goes and makes a scramble play, big throw down the field. So that's how they've lived, right? Unless they've gotten teams that aren't as good, then they'll just, they'll find ways to get the ball to Tyreek Hill because the other team doesn't know how to take him away. But, that being said, That was the issue, is that that's how they're going to play the entire season, and you're going to have to deal with it. Like, even the drive that they went down and tied the game, right? So he misses a throw, they have a pass interference, and they get a fortuitous play that gets them in position to kick the field goal. But it wasn't like a clean drive. Mm-hmm. None of their drives were ever clean all year. It was Patrick Mahomes just being better than everybody else and making plays to Tyreek Hill. Unfortunately, they took him away.
I feel like, and yes, one of the offshoots of this, and I kind of think Tony Romo's getting a lot of praise, and I got to say, I think David Carr could do that. I think a lot of QBs. I think the lesson shouldn't be that Tony Romo is the greatest analyst of all time, and he was dynamite once again on Sunday night's broadcast. But I think what these teams need, or what these broadcast outlets need to do, is to tap into some of the quarterbacks that are out there.
Man,
like you.
When I say that stuff, people think that I'm just biased because I'm a quarterback. But what Tony Romo was able to do, and he was brilliant. I love watching and listening.
Were you able to do the same things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's out there.
I mean, think about me and
Derek. Haven't figured that out yet.
We're sitting there watching the game, doing basically what Tony's doing, and it's not hard. I mean, if you've played the game and you've been there, a lot of guys can do that. Maybe not as good as Tony. Tony's really good at it.
I'm not denigrating him at all.
But he's excellent. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to sit there with your brother who plays, and he's going to give me nuggets that I wouldn't think of necessarily. I'm going to give him stuff. So that conversation was as fun as watching Tony, but not everyone in America gets that every week. You get some pretty terrible announcing. And people that, like, we'll text each other. I'll text other quarterbacks and be like, did you hear what this dude just said about that play? Like, that's so completely wrong. And unfortunately, now the fans think it's right, and they're misinformed. So, I just think you go from playing as a quarterback, then if you don't want to go coach or retire or go sit on, a lake somewhere or the beach, then you go do football.
Yeah, Orlovsky's great. David Carr would be great. Let's get that
in the booth so everyone gets to understand. Because honestly, the reason why is because we have to understand exactly what the defense is doing better than they're doing it, really. And we know what happens on the offensive side of the ball. It's really the only position where you get that whole thing. So,
all right, now to push back a little bit. I think that Brady was dynamite. Nails. I talk about it all the time. I'll say it for the million and first time. Yes, Timmy Smith is a great story. Nick Foles is a great story, but nobody expects him to do it. Tom Brady, everybody is looking for him to do it in overtime and when they're down with a minute and a half to go, and he does it. He's drilling some third down passes that are on the money and everything else. But, Here it comes. But I've talked to you. I've talked to Willie McGinnis. I've talked to Bucky. The difference is, correct me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Tell me how I'm being overly simplistic.
Yeah.
Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels are willing to nickel and dime you for 60 minutes every week.
Yeah.
If that's what's presented to them. And no one else on the face of the earth is willing to do the same.
It's crazy.
It's that simple.
It is that simple.
You could say to Phil Rivers, if you just do this and resist the urge, tamp down your ego and just take it 8 yards at a time, he would win a Super Bowl.
Have you met Philip Rivers?
I'm just saying that's the math.
That is the
math.
Crazy. It's so crazy, but that's the beauty of that. That's what's so awesome about what they go out there. But first of all, he made some great throws down the field, very accurate, extremely accurate. But with the plan,
downfield, relatively speaking,
third and 10,
wide open
for a 41-year-old man.
Okay, but
downfield,
but open throw set up by play action and otherwise
set up by a beautiful game plan designed perfectly for the guys that they have, so everyone else designs a scheme, and they say that they don't. They say that they design a scheme based on the strength and the players that they have. the Patriots design a scheme based on their division, which they've won forever, right? You can say that they're terrible. They probably are. They're not as good as other divisions, mm-hmm. but they design a scheme based on winning their division and then matching up with people. They'll look, I guarantee they've been getting ready for the Chiefs for 8 weeks. Like, they've started running the football. You think about it, 8-10 weeks ago, they got into this mode of, this is how we're going to win the
Super
Bowl. And so they just do that, and they find guys. Like, who's Devlin? Like, they have a fullback on the field. No other team in the NFL has a fullback on the field right now. And he's out there making plays because it's what best will get them where they want to go, right?
It is a crazy paradox that, first of all, that this is pretty straightforward. All you have to do is do that. They do it. It's not
every
trickery.
Team should, exactly.
But now, they do the flea flicker, trying to win the game and all that cute stuff. But nevertheless, it really is just, just taking what you're giving us.
And what's even interesting, what's crazy about that is you think that it's all their system. And it is. It's their system. But their system encompasses 20 years, basically. Two decades worth of Tom Brady. I can get to any play I want to at the line of scrimmage. But what's wild is you'll see plays that the Rams ran this year, that they run. You'll see plays that sitting there with Derek, not to drop my brother's name again, but he'll say, we ran that same play. They literally stole it from us, but they did it better. They actually took Gronkowski, instead of running him up the field, they ran him across the field, and the safety wasn't able to break it up like he broke it up on Cook when I threw it to him, and Gronk made a 15-yard gain. And it happens, and you just see play after play of just pulling from other teams and saying, this is the best way we know how to beat this team in front of us. We're going to take our guys, and we're just going to do that. And you have no idea. That's what's so hard about defense is you have no idea what you're going to get. The Rams have literally no idea how they're going to come out and play offensive football because they can play in the I formation. Brady could spread you out in five wide receivers. You have no idea. They have the guys to do every one of those.
I mean, it really is. But what I mean, bottom line is two things about, well, first of all, the paradox is that I have tried to make it, it's not to marginalize them, but there is something unsatisfying about it. Mm. I love dynasties, but there's something unsatisfying because there's not iconic plays associated with the Patriots offensive machines as much as there are with any other team that's in the mix in January on a regular basis.
Right.
But they're always in the most, I mean, then they're in every playoff game, so that would make some sense here, but every game they play is nip and tuck in the big games. I mean, they smoke teams on occasion like they did a week ago with the Chargers, but they play in these games that will go down in history among the all-time greats. And yet, when you search for the play, what's the one that you're going to remember as a Patriots fan? It's all just swing passes and it's
throwing,
you know.
Because here's what happens, right? Especially when we have a great quarterback, a greatness of we've probably never seen, right? Tom Brady is cool under pressure. I remember, I still tell those people, we played an overtime game when I was in Houston. After the game, he comes up. I'm thinking, man, we're both emotionally spent. All he says, I'm kind of tired. I'm kind of hungry. You know, that's it. Like, what? You just played a fantastic football game in overtime. You came out and you did. So he doesn't get flapped. Like, he doesn't buckle under the pressure. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the defensive side, like you talk about just a swing pass. That's exactly right, because in coverage now the defender is thinking, well, I can't give up this big throw that Brady's about to hit me on, so I'm going to get a little bit extra depth. And what does he do? He just dumps it to James White. Or if you get a little aggressive in that moment, which human nature, you're going to be either overly aggressive or you're going to kind of tensing up a little bit. Brady just stays even. He stays completely even like it's a day at the park.
I want to be able to talk for at least a couple minutes about the other game. But last thing with Brady is, you know, Max Kellerman's catching a lot of heat for saying that they're lucky that they got to the overtime. I'm not sure what the pushback on that is. Oh, Kellerman's a hater. Well, they did get lucky, and Brady didn't play well.
Right.
I mean, am I missing something that until that – you know, that ball, D4 doesn't line up offsides. That's a pick.
He'd
have a touchdown 100%. And three picks, and we would hold that up as like, ooh, wow, Brady really didn't look very good there.
Point.
Now he's a hero. True or false? Am I missing something there?
No, I think there's a little truth to that, because it wasn't a Pat Mahomes, right, type 5-touchdown game, or even Brady. Like, we've seen him go and play extremely well, throw the football over the field. I think that the beauty of this game was just how they dissected the Kansas City Chiefs defense from a quarterback's perspective. Like, they basically went out, lined up, did what they couldn't stop the first half. And then when the Chiefs adjusted, the Patriots had a plan ready and like literally in place, like, oh, well, now we're going to do this. And it was like sitting there watching, like, usually that happens and you find yourself on Monday saying, man, we should be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, but they're in the Super Bowl.
I know. So I feel bad for the Chiefs fans,
man. No, the Chiefs were great. The fans were great. I mean, everything about that game, they did exactly what they should have done.
14-0 at the half, though. That's what I look back to.
It's yeah, not they the, just flipped the script on them.
All right, now let's talk about what happened in the Superdome. Of course, the big play, the missed PI. Now, of course, Eddie Spaghetti and everybody else has pointed out that on the drive before, Jared Goff, they hooked his face mask. They could have had a first and goal
Brady
down there.
Did you see roughing the passer that was less egregious?
I mean, come on. That was ridiculous. That
Rush was you can't touch his face.
He didn't touch his
face. Don't touch the quarterback's face.
He didn't touch Tom Brady's face. He didn't touch any part of his head.
Don't obstruct my view of the receivers. If you block my hand and I can't see down the field,
what is illegal. I'm curious about that. What's Derek Carr when he sees that?
Exact thing that happened. He's sitting to my left. My brother Darren, who played defensive line, is sitting in front of me on the couch. And we're just back at this whatever bar. And Darren, my brother, who plays defensive line, said just gets up and throws a tincture. Like, he just loses it, right? And all Derek says is, can't touch my face.
That's but he it. Didn't touch his face.
It doesn't matter. He's a quarterback. And he also obstructed his view. Like, hands were kind of, I can't necessarily see this.
I can't believe Derek would support that when he wouldn't have gotten the call himself.
You know why? Because when he was 10 years old, he watched me get clotheslined, body slammed, suplexed, like by all these guys. So he has a little pent up frustration. So I understand. It ruined his childhood.
He should be offended for you. Forget himself. He should be offended for you.
He was offended. He actually told me I should call in, right, to the league and see if I can get some yardage added to my career totals, but I don't know if that's going to work.
I hate to put this on somebody, but he's the future Hall of Famer. He's the one. I talk about it all the time. Who was everybody in the Superdome looking at? It was Drew Brees. Drew Brees, not a vintage performance. Fair?
No, and there have been a couple over the last couple months that were not vintage Drew Brees, and that wasn't one. And they had a good plan against them. Going into it, we thought Aqib Talib would be a much better matchup on Michael Thomas. And other than the time where Michael Thomas got matched up on Marcus Peters, Talib shut him down. And they had a good plan there. Then they stopped the run with the front. In the last 2 weeks, the Rams have done a great job stopping the run with the front. So that gives me hope going to the Super Bowl. They got a chance to do that. But
right.
Against Drew Brees, it made it tough because Drew doesn't necessarily have anyone else outside of Michael Thomas and those backs to do anything with.
Well, I thought that was clever. What Wade cooked up there was and
smart.
I haven't seen a lot of that, was they were devoting a D lineman
Bonk
41.
Well, and that could have been problematic. So what you're gambling on is that Drew won't recognize it, right? You're saying, okay,
what happens if he does?
Then you have
Michael Thomas singled up.
Then you have Alvin Kamara on a defensive end, and I saw it. Now I'm going to hit it, right? So what happens is
but if they bonk him coming out of the backfield, that's all predicated on him getting into space and making a quick choice, right?
You got to hit him out of the backfield, right? Defensive end can lock on and swing with him, but you have to bank on that pressure getting there. So what happens when a defensive end drops is pressure comes from the other side.
Oh, if there's no other pressure, then 41's eventually going to get around.
Eventually
even if
beat him. Yeah, exactly.
Well, but so, they were hitting him was the other thing. They were like,
oh, they took a page out of the Patriots playbook back when they played the Rams in 2001, when they were aggressive at the line of scrimmage, hit Marshall Faulk, wouldn't let him out of the backfield. So that was the same type of scenario. And they had a great plan, but it's all predicated on that pressure getting there to Drew. And we saw even on the last interception he threw, pressure was in his face. He was able, the ball flies up in the air. So, but it wasn't a great performance by Drew. And I feel for him because now he's at the point now where he's running out of time.
I thought standing on the field at Super Bowl 52 at the end of that game, I thought, wow, that's it for Brady. But now he's right back at it.
But Brady looks a lot younger, doesn't he, than Drew? I feel like he looks younger.
I guess so. And by the way,
just like play on the field.
We could go a million different ways about that. A couple things. First of all, Jared Goff, again, didn't come out of the gate playing very well.
Yeah.
So that says something for that kid that he rose up in the second half. Yeah. Especially, I know you were enjoying it. You were sitting in the bar with your brothers, but I'd like to think that that Dave Damashek crossed your mind a few times when you saw them going with the play action.
It was fantastic.
And that's when it won
the game for him.
He started to kill him with it.
And then they
finally decided, no more of this, and they were getting in his face.
But they did, but even when they got in his face, he was able to make the
he did make a
out
couple of
his hand,
of them, right?
And all you got to do is just give your guy a chance. But that one game. I won the game. The run game wasn't even that strong.
No.
And the play action was still with the
play
action.
To Gerald Everett, to me, looms among non-touchdown plays as one of the biggest in that game. When he rolled out and held on to it, you would think he'd get impatient in that moment. He held on, waited for 81 to come clear, and he did. That was a huge play.
It was huge, and it was very difficult. Like, going in there, that was as loud. And, you know, on TV, you can't really get a sense, but talking to people that were in the building, they said that was as loud as I've ever heard that stadium. And they were there for the blocked punt, you know, back when they came back from the hurricane. And it was incredible. So to kind of manage that, even though it looked like the Rams didn't even have a plan for the noise coming into it, that just shows you how loud it was, because they clearly had a plan. It was just so loud that, and I've been there, I've been in Kansas City right, where you can't hear what your coach is saying to you because the crowd noise is so loud on the sideline that when he pushes the button to talk to you, the crowd noise hits the speaker, and that's all you hear. You cannot hear your coach talk. So I understand Jared Goff's going through. He runs all the way out to Gerald Everett to give an audible like 30 yards away, and then comes back, and he's clapping for the ball. So there was some chaos they had to kind of battle through there. You know, and there was an early surge by the Saints that if they would have scored, you know, two or three times instead of field goals, that would have been a blowout. But he managed it, made some big time throws, and the play action.
I said aloud, I don't care if it's the Saints or anyone else. You only come away when they kick the field goal and it was 6-0.
100%.
I said that you watch. That's going to haunt them.
That was the game. I completely agree with you.
Oh, they didn't make that into 7
right,
either.
And you get the interception right there, and you don't. I mean, come on, guys. Yep.
The kick by Greg DeLeg, the longest I've ever seen a football kicked in my life. I can't imagine anybody's ever kicked one further. But the last
Incredible.
Thing, David Carr, I know people like to talk about the superstars, and that's why people wanted to see a rematch of 54-51 and everything else. Instead, what we have, better or worse, however you want to frame it, correct me if I'm wrong, this one is all about old man witch Bill Belichick versus the one who everybody's mimicking right now, Sean McVay. That's the game, right?
100%.
And Wade versus Josh McDaniels, and that's the game. It's the coaches.
It doesn't. The players don't even matter at this point.
You and I could play in it.
It really could, and we'd be, and it would just be, what are these coaches going to devise up to figure out? It's just, it's beautiful that the two best coaches in the game are going at each other right now. And on the other side, it's going to be very interesting.
I will say, all season long, that is something that David Carr and I talked about, is the impact of in 2018, the aggressive head coaches, the play
Absolutely.
Callers, the innovative play callers are what was going to win the day. And here we have two of the very
big
best.
Big believer in coaching and the two very best.
And then, Andy Reid and Sean Payton, they made it pretty
best,
far themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, great stuff, David Carr. And Thanks, hopefully
buddy.
This is just the hors d'oeuvre, because as I have already foretold, you belong up in a broadcast booth.
It would be fun. I mean, you got to have time, though, man. I got a lot of kids, you know, and they demand a lot of time. But
I'll do a lot of the talking.
Okay. Yeah, we can do it together.
I assume if I'm writing your ticket, the Damashek's in the sidecar.
Now that I think about it, I think the only way that I would do it is if you did play.
We could do a three-man booth. I'd like to be like the Cosell role.
Who would you add?
We just got to get a nice, solid play-by-play,
okay.
Man. We know Matt Money Smith, somebody like
that'd
that.
Be great. Yeah.
We could get him.
Fantastic.
And then you provide actual insights, and I'm like, look at him go. I'll just shout like that all the time.
I'd find myself just listening to that.
Huh? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to love it. All right, David Carr, terrific stuff as always. Best to Derek and Darren and the rest of the gang.
Thanks,
back home.
I appreciate it.
There goes David Carr.
Bye, David Carr.
In comes the Englishman, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dave. How are you?
Fine. You've been traveling abroad quite a bit, I've noticed, of late, right?
Yeah, I was in London, England.
And cinching all the final details, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. And before we talk about anything else, Atlanta, who's going to be joining us there in terms of pro football teams and otherwise, lay it on us. Let's project ahead to autumn of 2019. You and your gang have been working on what the international schedule is going to look like. Lay it on us. People have seen it on social media, but walk us through it. Why don't you?
Sure, why not? There are going to be four games in London, Dave. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be hosting the Carolina Panthers. Nice little division matchup in the NFC South.
That's
I like
something
that
I've noticed, that these games
There's a couple
seem,
of them,
yeah,
right?
Nice little, fun little matchup.
That's a good one. The Chicago Bears, that defense is going to be taking on the Oakland Raiders in London as well. That should be fun.
Did you hear they're going to be new look in 2019?
Who?
The Raiders.
Well,
they're going to be new look.
New look Raiders.
Because they're going to be drafting a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Also, a little birdie has hinted to me sometime in the last, I don't know, half hour or so, and I'm not saying anything else, that maybe they'll go after Le'Veon Bell.
Ooh,
that
would
be fun. A good piece for Derek Carr, right?
That would be interesting. Yeah. I like that.
Go ahead. That's a good one.
That's
fun
a good one.
one.
The one of the teams in the Super Bowl. I think probably.
Oh, by the way, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
The when Bears and Raiders, well, I was just thinking, what is that trigger in my brain? And I was reminded, I think it was 1984 or maybe 86, right in that range, right around the Bears powerhouse days, that those two teams, and they were the most brutal defensive teams.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that Jim McMahon got knocked out of that game with a lacerated spleen.
Oh, nothing worse than a spleen.
You got a lacerated spleen.
Who do you think he was up against? Was that Mark Wilson starting a quarterback?
That sounds about right.
Sounds about that era, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. That checks out. And I think, I'm not positive if it was that game, but the Bears got so ruined at QB that in the second half, they just direct snapped it to Walter Payton the whole game.
Which actually wouldn't have been a bad move for them for about 4 years before they became good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I wonder why more teams don't try that periodically. Anyway, continue.
Okay, the next one, the Super Bowl bound, or this is not a spoiler here, but the Super Bowl bound LA Rams.
No, well, I mean,
you've mentioned that before on the show with Dave Carr.
Yeah, we're not that good at bending the space-time continuum that we could actually be recording this on the Thursday before the title game. So yeah, don't worry. I appreciate
I realize
your
that,
concern.
But I didn't know if you'd mentioned that the Rams made it to the Super Bowl up until now in the show.
I guess it's conceivable that we could have
I thought some
sat
people
with
might
David
have
Carr
missed
for,
all the games this weekend.
It's conceivable that
and then you with, hadn't mentioned it and now and then anyway, that's
with
fine.
Dave as your host, it's possible that I might have sat for a half an hour with David Carr or another pro football player and not mention the title games, but I did in this case.
But every different type of pasta was mentioned. The LA Rams are playing the Cincinnati Bengals in what I call the Zach Taylor Bowl.
Ah, cute.
Thanks. And then another divisional matchup, the Jags of London and Jacksonville will be hosting the Houston Texans.
How real is that? You handsome, if you aren't aware, you know, he started out, was working a lot on digital media when he moved from the UK to the US, but you've taken over in the last half decade or so. You've really built up this international thing quite a bit. You and you alone too.
No, not me and me.
You take
alone.
All the credit for it behind the scenes.
I take zero credit. I'm part of a wonderful team of great humans.
Either way, it's remarkable work you've done here, but, how true is that from an insider's perspective, this thing always, the Jags will eventually just move over there. Oh, the Jags really love the London affiliation more than any other.
I think they're really committed to London, but I think the move may be still some time away. I'm not sure that's happening anytime.
Where are we on the Concorde already? We got to bring back the Concorde.
That's the thing I don't understand is when it comes to travel, Concorde was fine. And then as far as I know, like one bad thing happened with Concorde and then they're like, all right, scrap this.
I know if we scrap everything that has one foul
thing,
step, then what are we going to do? You know, we wouldn't be doing
this
anything.
Show definitely would not be happening.
Thank you.
So that's, you know, what's cool about these games for London, once all these games have been completed, 31 out of 32 teams will have played in London.
No way!
The Texans, this is their first time playing here, and the Panthers, the first time playing in London.
Wait, don't say
it. There's one team left, and I want you to tell me who it is.
Should I be able to guess this one pretty
easily? You probably should, because it's a team, so you
Well, no, don't say anything. Spaghetti and MVP behind the glass. Do you, if you don't know it, that's the only way you're allowed to guess. You can't just
I don't know it. Emma had a team. I don't want to steal her thunder because she had a good
Well, let's let Emma go first. That's how we do it traditionally.
This is anywhere internationally. Anywhere internationally.
No, I'm talking about London specific.
London specific.
Although this team also hasn't played anywhere else internationally.
I think you might be right. I'm going to go with yours.
31 out of 32 have played internationally. Okay.
Is it the Steelers?
No, they played the Vikings.
They played the Vikings in London.
Ooh, that was
no,
my
but
guess.
Good guess.
Thank you.
Dave would have known that. I wouldn't have thrown that one in Dave's direction.
I almost thought it was like a reverse.
Can I help you in a way?
Ooh, I know who it is. Okay. I think I know who it is. I'll let Spaghetti guess.
I'm going to guess the Chiefs.
Nope, the Chiefs have played internationally.
The correct answer. The correct answer is when you hear it, you'll say like, of course I would know that. I would remember that they had played in a game. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Incorrect.
Ah!
The Dallas Cowboys have played in London.
Who'd they play?
The Jags, I think.
Cowboys and Jags.
Yeah. It's a team that you would never, ever. So the thing with scheduling these international games, it's hard to get teams to give up a home game. Everyone wants to go as a visiting team. That seems like a cool thing to do.
It's the Green Bay Packers. Yeah,
exactly. So it's hard to get the Green Bay Packers to give up a home game in Lambeau, especially because instead of having one guy say yes, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. You have to get their X billion.
It's a fun trivia question, though.
It is. So one day we'd love to get the Packers to go to London as a visiting team, more likely. And then the second thing is obviously the game in Mexico as well. Another divisional matchup. Los Angeles' Chargers will be hosting the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know,
which is a great game.
I mean, it's a wonderful game, obviously. And the rumor was, as recently as last Friday or maybe even Saturday, was that it was going to be the Steelers and Chargers. And the Roonies,
who
I know.
Who started that rumor?
Not me.
Okay.
What do you say?
I hadn't heard that rumor.
You didn't?
Mostly because I knew the game. But
No, that was pretty, I mean, at least in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I saw that in local media over there. But
Good for you, because it means that you'll be able to see the Steelers.
Thank you.
Just
Selfishly, yes. I was pleased that the Steelers weren't going, because now I will finally get to see the Pittsburgh Steelers play in Los Angeles County. So I'm excited for that. Okay. Okay, Carson's in the county, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think isn't Carson a county?
It's in Southern California.
It's in Southern California.
I don't know. What difference does it make? Wonder who, by the way, I know we'll have a whole offseason to talk about this, Handsome. Who do you think's going to get? Because the Packers make me think they're one of those tentpole franchises that, you know, pushes back at the idea. Like, we don't want to be Hard Knocks. You know who else doesn't want to be Hard Knocks? Is the Steelers. But you can be chosen to do it, right?
I think with
What's
Hard
the
Knocks, there's
again?
Like a, you can't have a brand new head coach. You can't have maybe been to the Super Bowl. You don't have to do it.
Right.
And maybe if you've done it in the last 5 years, you're exempt. Something like that.
Imagine if they did that. What would be a better soap opera for a month than the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I'm not sure who'll be left.
That's true.
I mean,
yeah, we
AB's
don't even know who the stars
there,
will
so
be
So that's not
that
going to be interesting. Lev Bell's not going to be there. That's not going to be interesting.
Do you, by the way, I'm fielding offers currently. David Carr has made his pitch. I'm fielding offers for anybody who wants Antonio Brown. What are you willing to give the organization?
I don't want Antonio Brown.
Oh, you don't want him. All right. You're not going to make a bid for him. Who's your quarterback, by the way? Your Miami Dolphins QB in 2019.
I don't know.
Joe Flacco.
As I told you a couple of weeks ago when I was last on the show, for the whole of 2018 – or 19, that's what we're
You're not even... Oh, that's 19, right. You're not even...
I am not,
I forgot.
You can't refer to them as my Miami Dolphins.
You're right.
Because I'm putting them aside for a year. 12-month hiatus.
Maybe you could jump on board with Spaghetti's Giants.
Nope.
Plenty of room on that bandwagon.
Yeah, that's for a good reason.
I don't know if you heard the big news, but Spaghetti was making a case before the title games were even played about why the Giants can win the Super Bowl.
No, that's not what I said. I said
I did see some tweets. I know that Eddie was just telling me that he this weekend got up to, you know, he was eating and drinking and everything. I just assumed he was drunk when I read
the thick cast.
I said every year in the NFL has a team, at least one team that goes from last place to first place, and I made my case as to why the Giants could make a lot of sense to be that pick. That was it.
All right. Handsome, did you watch the football games
I
on
did,
Sunday?
Yes,
what jumped out
great
to you?
Glee. I loved the championship games.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always, it's real because the Super Bowl is exciting. It's the final, but it's in a neutral venue.
A show,
and it's not.
And where there's so much talk of make sure you tune in to see the one-on-one interview of halftime,
right.
All that stuff.
I don't think they have one-on-one. I think that's the only time they have a show, and they don't have any interviews at all at halftime.
Yeah, right. No, I'm saying the week.
Yes.
We get distracted by the
by
interview
all the other stuff.
With the person who's going to be singing on
right.
Sunday.
I don't care about any of that. I like football. And my point is, I like the championship games because it's in front of a home crowd.
You got it.
And they are, you know, they're all fired up. They want to see that.
And yet, the two home crowds went home sad. But I do say all the time, our guy Ryan Bartlett is the most recent victim of this. I always say, though, if you have a choice, go to the title game in your hometown versus the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm exactly was
Super
what
Bowls
I was
are wonderful, you know, singular experiences, and yet there's just nothing like
I
being around your gang with when your team advances to the Super Bowl.
I'd love to go to a championship game. That would be my dream.
Yeah.
Of my favorite team. But I mean, I've never been to one.
Who's
never
it going to be? We don't even know yet.
No, exactly.
It's exciting. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that plays out over the course of 2019. Do you have any complaints? Anything that jumps out to you? Is it the officiating? What?
I'm going to not. I mean, like enough people have said enough about officiating. I'm sure I don't need to weigh in on that. I think my complaint is that most of all, just I wanted to see the other two teams win. Like I wanted to see a Saints-Chiefs Super Bowl. That was my dream for my week in Atlanta.
Why
next
so?
Week. I just, both the stories are a little fresher. Everything seems a bit more exciting. I'm not interested in seeing the Patriots. And I'm going to predict that the Patriots win. And just for fun, I'm going to predict that they win 20-17, which was the score of the first Rams Patriots.
Completion Super of the Bowl. Circle, right?
Completion of the Super Bowl. Then Tom Brady can go off and do something different. I just wanted to see the Chiefs against the Saints, especially, you know, it feels like a more exciting, younger, you know, more fun.
I mean, listen,
matchup.
We can dance around it all we want. It's not bitterness, Tamposi, Ricky Hollywood, producer of the ATN podcast said, you're going to cry about the Patriots? I'm not sad that the Patriots won. It's just like,
I'm bored of it.
We've seen it. Wouldn't it have been nice for those Chiefs people who, as I always say, the Jets fans, they get our sympathies, but not the Chiefs fans who are only 1 year closer.
Right.
I mean, the Jets won 3. And the Chiefs won Super Bowl 4, and then they haven't
been
back
since.
Just
as quiet. Exactly.
Imagine how heartbreaking. They went to overtime at home, and they had to watch Tom Brady drive down the field, and they're here.
It was, obviously going to happen. And the thing that, like, right now, I can tell you, Bill Belichick, you know, because what he does is he sits in his office, he closes the door, and he's like, what can I get angry about that's going to motivate me? And so everything about this, the next 2 weeks, from the media standpoint, is going to be Bill Belichick versus the new young. That's going to annoy Bill Belichick so much.
Wow.
The idea that McVay is going to be positioned as the new Belichick, and can he outthink the Belichick's going to put something together and just.
But it's a funny. But there is a funny like yin and yang puzzle that kind of fits together with that, because like David Carr and I were talking about, you don't have to like it, but this is what the Super Bowl is going to come down to, is Bill Belichick, the old guy, versus Sean McVay, the young guy. But Belichick has the young offensive innovator, and Sean McVay has the old defensive coordinator, and it all fits together. And it has almost much less to do with any of the players that are out there.
Yeah, I'm always, in these big games, people will focus on the things that both teams are good at. In other words, the Rams, you know, offense and all the thinking that he can do, and the Patriots defense and everything that Belichick brings to that. And I always think the games inevitably hinge on the opposite of that. It's like, okay, great. We know your offense is really good. We know your defense is really good. Rams, can your defense be better?
Can you continue to stop the run if you have?
Exactly. Right. And then obviously the Patriots offense sounds ridiculous talking about that not being good enough with Tom Brady there, but that's the bit that needs to put it together.
I think you and I are, great samples for all the young people out there
young
professionalism.
Yep.
You know, we're pros that we've been able to talk about important football related matters. But now about you and me, we're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. We often break bread together.
We definitely should do. And I was wondering,
but Matt Money Smith is not joining us this year for the first time in many moons. He's usually our third.
No great loss. Let's be honest.
But we're not going to have him with us. So what are we going to first thing, air travel is a little bit, I don't know what right now, like long lines, everything. Should we right now decide that you, me, and whoever else wants in is going to jump in a car and drive?
I would
them?
Do that in a heartbeat.
Would you really do that?
I love driving across
really
America.
Would you really do that?
Oh my God. Yeah.
If
I would definitely
do it.
Here's who we would bring. Okay. It's going to be a big car.
Maurice.
You and I, Maurice.
Yeah.
He brings all the snacks.
I thought I was going to say, like, all right, that's the end of...
No, Eddie, I would let Eddie and Emma come along as well.
Cast.
I think it'd be fun, Eddie and Emma, and then Maurice for a thick cast as well. We
okay,
could
but you know, Spaghetti doesn't
driving.
Have a room, so he's going to be crashing on your floor.
That's fine with me.
Is that right?
Of course it is.
That's right. Actually, at the Super Bowl in New York or whenever it was, when you had a few of your English blokes with you, well, how many, three?
There were three of us.
They all slept in your room for days
on
end. It was
bad, because often with these hotels at the Super Bowl, they're brand new hotels, and you go to somewhere like Atlanta or Houston, it's like a huge hotel room. You're like, wow, what am I going to do with this? So I just assumed it would be the same, and then obviously New York hotel rooms aren't known for being spacious, and two of my most unpleasant smell.
I know.
Friends.
Fortunately, that renowned English elegance and charm really saved the day.
They definitely they. The good news was actually they decided to forego sleep for a lot of the weekend, so I didn't have to entertain them for too long. I do remember thinking it's almost time for me to get up now on Super Bowl Sunday morning, at like 5 a.m., and they still hadn't come back.
You would do that road trip, wouldn't you, Spaghetti?
Oh, with you guys? 100%. That'd be really? So fun.
Can you imagine how much fun that would
be?
That'd
be awesome.
MVP, who else would we you're in?
I'm in. That'd be awesome.
Who else should
you,
we bring
you
with
You say
us?
That, MVP, but I'd be careful. Because okay. Because people talk, we talk about this for another 90 seconds it in earnest, happen. And it could happen.
Mark Brady
so
will,
be
make,
careful
this. Mark
saying,
Brady
I'm
will
in.
Make this happen.
Yeah, Mark will make it happen.
Mark Brady would be like, hey, guys, I got a bus running for you.
Here's
outside.
The problem. From NFL media's standpoint, they won't care if you and I and even your thick cast partner does it or the one half of the broadcast. That will amount to like, that's fine if you guys want to do it. If we could get Maurice to do it and Willie McGinnis to do it, now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah, let's then get your friend Dave Carr as well.
We bring Lindsay Rhodes with us. Yeah.
Let's just pack a bus with everyone. Wouldn't that be fun? Because of the travel issues.
Keep it down, Mike Silver. Yeah. You know, like that kind of thing.
Yep. Greg Roseland. Oh, I don't really like this bus.
I'm uncomfortable. Why do I have to sit on the hump seat?
I realize I'm a kid, but.
I don't know. I'm excited. That's fine. I don't really care that much. It's okay. I'm not that into it. So are we in? We're all gonna.
Let's do that.
I love it.
But seriously, Dave.
On top of that, we definitely should try and find some places to eat in Atlanta.
Handsome. I haven't talked about this publicly, or at least on the DDFP. But for a week plus 2 days now, I have I've consumed very little carbs.
I was about to say you are looking slightly less thick than you.
Although my girlfriend said to me the other just last night, as I finished my second or seventh glass of wine, somewhere in that range, she said, "If you're strictly trying to eat no carbs, like you know, the red wine is really
carbs
is really running afoul of that." And I said, "Oh, I had not. Why didn't you tell me that? Right. You know, I'm doing that." But
do you know what I did? I was doing dry.
She likes me fat. What can I say?
Yeah, she's a feeder.
is that what it's called?
Yeah. They have fatties and feeders.
Mrs.
And
Spaghetti feeders knows get, a thing or two about
feeders
that.
Feeders get a real thrill out of their fatties staying. I mean, this is
I've got an endless bowl of spaghetti.
Whoa.
That's his girlfriend. That wasn't me. That wasn't me saying that.
No, I realize.
But that's the kind of fun we're going to have in the car ride.
Yeah, it's going to be just going to be tremendous. But we do. So could we find a carb-free restaurant that you're allowed to eat at?
Well, I was going to say, I think we have to go steak or like barbecue because I can just get all manner of meat, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. Then again, once we're at the Super Bowl, am I going to keep it that way?
Here's the deal. My problem is January. So I had to travel to London. And then, you know, when you're eating on the road, it's hard to. And then I was trying to give up booze. And I'd got like 8 whole days into the month and I got on a plane and the nice lady was like, what would you like to drink? And I was like, oh, one of these, one of those, one of these, mm-hmm. one of those. And then I was like, oh, I was like 4 deep. And I was like, I forgot I'm not supposed to be drinking.
I was so good at it. Now I'm drunk.
I was so good at it at home. It's
and I've
easy.
Been so ever since.
No, at home it was easy. And then, but then it's like, well, now there's no point. I have a event that I'm celebrating. I'm going to the Super Bowl after that. Let's put it on hold till February.
I that's kind of how, I mean, once we get to Atlanta, then
you've made it most of the way through the month. What day do you arrive?
Sunday.
That's this 27th of January. You might as well call that the 1st of February.
That's right. Looking forward to getting out there, by the way. We are going to be on the lookout for our late Monday night, early Tuesday morning release of my favorite check report that we do every year when I kibitz with the guys at from both teams there, ask them the important questions that people are afraid to ask.
Can we plan some questions?
Yes, I'd like
right
to.
Right here and now.
Let's do it. By the way, I'm thinking about taking the 10-foot pole. What do you think about that? Wouldn't that be great if I had the literal 10-foot?
You're going to chuck it in or carry on?
I haven't gotten that far yet. Right. But wouldn't it be fun to see like, hey, Tom Brady, clear out everybody. Tom needs some room for the literal 10-foot pole, you know? Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback in Super Bowl history. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole, you know? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, at Honors, we'll be there for our usual fun there as everybody heads in for the red carpet. Also,
Can you get people at Honors to try foods they've never tried before?
Ooh, MVP. What do you think about that good idea?
I like it. That's great.
Try some food. Have you ever had?
But you have to eat it as well. So we could get, you know how you can sometimes
What's
get
your
like,
thing with the intestines that everybody eats with the stuff?
Black pudding.
Yeah, but even the grosser one, the one that everybody...
Why is it my thing, man?
I mean, it's your people's thing. The gross thing that's a stuffed intestine.
Oh, a haggis.
Haggis, yeah.
You ever got some haggis?
Hey, New Copkins, you ever had a haggis? Let's try it. You and me together,
friend. Get those deep-fried scorpions or something.
Ooh, okay. All right. I like that idea. Also, we have booked some big-name pro football players. I'm waiting, excited to get out there. Get some Jalen Ramsey.
I like Jalen Ramsey.
Deshaun Watson.
I love Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
We took him to Germany last year.
Really?
He's a friend of ours.
Hmm. Well, any insights you can provide before I sit down with Deshaun Watson would be great. One more thing, Handsome. I don't know if you heard the news, but last week, alleged cinephile slash pop culture slash TV lover, whatever, you know, just like his predecessor, Black Tie, Eddie Spaghetti back there behind the glass, admitted he'd never seen Lethal Weapon or Die Hard. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think as hard as it is to countenance that, Eddie's what, 26?
I don't care.
26.
I've seen realize, on the waterfront. But, so what? It came out before I was alive. So
I know,
what?
But when we were younger, there were only so many movies that were, mm-hmm. right? It feels like now, every week, there's a dozen remakes of movies and whatever.
That's just
whatever.
Your perception. They're more based on the years or extra 40 movies.
Well, exactly.
A year,
there's
I guess.
40 more movies a year, but they make more movies now. And there's the whole Netflix. Like, what else were you doing with your time then? There's Netflix now. There's Amazon thingy. There's Hulu.
Okay, I'm 4 years
there's
older.
So much to do with Eddie's time. I suggest he sees those things.
I'm 4, maybe 5 years older than Spaghetti. So, all right. So they're an extra, you know, whatever, 100 or 150 movies in that span.
Sure.
How many of those are ones that people constantly reference in pop culture?
I know,
culture?
But all I mean is, like, people of Eddie's age, there's just too much happening in their worlds. Like, when we were little and you were like, I want to entertain myself because it's Friday evening and I'm 15 and I have no friends, no girls are interested in me, all those things.
Right.
All that there was for you to do is like, well, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to rent a video and I'm going to watch whatever it is, maybe for the third or fourth time because that's what I've got to do in my life. Eddie now can watch from a dozen streaming services, watch some of the movies that weren't made in the 5 years between your birth and his birth. He can go on the internet and just while away the hours looking at social media, and he often does. He can, you know, there's so much other stuff to do. That's why people don't end up watching.
I'd say, first of all, thank you for going back to me.
15 to 17 hours of his waking life is spent eating at this point.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, you don't keep that weight up.
It was a bad week, and I spent a lot of time eating. Thank you, Hank, for coming to bat for me, fellow Thick Cast member. I will watch. I told you I'll watch it. This weekend, I was too busy with birthday festivities. I did watch a lot of TV, though. But the problem with movies is that if it's not on a channel, if it's not on TNT or TBS or whatever, how do I – I'm not going to pay, like, $5 to watch Die Hard, like, a mediocre movie to watch.
Hard and Lethal Weapon are tough finds.
Really?
On the cable
really? That's not – that. Unfortunately, they are often – I'll tell you what.
I can turn it on a lot, but I might not.
If you
not
want me to
it.
Help you make your time efficient, when you've – oh, no, wait, you're not going to the Super Bowl.
Unfortunately, no.
No, if we drive.
Because they were both.
He's your roommate now.
Believe it or not,
about?
They were both on. They were both on United's flights. I watched some of Lethal Weapon on my flight back from London last.
That's
week.
How good it is.
I'll
Spaghetti.
Watch them before the end of this week. I'll curtail my TV series watching, and I'll watch those two.
I would just assume that we don't need it now. After the Super Bowl, then we really. Dive headfirst into the game of life, which we've been ignoring a little bit too much.
We haven't given it enough of its due.
Football's
a
important,
lot of football.
But the other games out there are important too. All right, good stuff, Handsome Hank. Mazel tov to you and your gang on another dandy 5 games awaiting the eyes
I hope you'll
of
make
football
it to
fans
one of
internationally. I know we were on our way to Mexico City, but we had a grand time at 54-51 at the Coliseum. Was looking forward to that rematch, but instead we shall see another chapter in the dynasty that is the New England Patriots against the LA Rams, Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, all that. You know the storylines will continue to get you ready for all that stuff as we get ready to depart, whether it be by air or land. Maybe even we'll go through the Panama Canal. That'd be fun, too.
Ooh,
a little bit of history.
Can you get to Atlanta that way?
Sure. Why not? Why can't you?
I guess, yeah.
That's how you get across. That's how our forefathers, well, not your forefathers, but that's how you – get from the West to the East, or mm-hmm. vice versa.
I understand.
You understand? All right. So that's what I'm talking about. It's got to go right through Panama there. You yep. see?
There's a, but they, from the they West, missed,
they built a
thing.
Would
you go from the... Okay, yeah.
Why was that such an undertaking, too? Didn't seem like it would be that big a deal, right? To, big a, to dig a, was to a, dig a space? Big like, just oh, make a space so a boat can go through it.
They had to dig through a country, through a land. Are you joking?
I'm asking. I don't know the answer.
I think it would be hard.
Really?
Yeah, I think that would be difficult to dig something deep enough for ships to sail through.
Like, how many people
right
do you think
in
it
the
would
middle
take
of
us?
A
how
land?
Many people and how many days do you think it would take us?
I think it would. I mean, I think with the four of us, it would take 70 or 80,000 years.
Leota, De Niro, and Pesci dug that hole in like an hour for the one guy. I mean, like,
yeah, yeah, well, that,
do that
then,
times
so
20
that,
and we're done.
No.
Here's our ship.
You're going to need more than that. Then you got to build the ship. Which, by the way, none of us are experts. I reckon we could all become experts at digging a hole.
I don't think the people tasked with the Panama Canal were then asked when they finished digging the gap from northern Panama and southern Panama.
Was it? No, it's from east to west. You just mentioned that. They didn't go
no,
down the country.
Once the gap was dug, there was a north end to it and the south end.
And then what happens if you were like, Dave, I left my shovel on the north side.
Can you throw it across? Like Indiana yeah. Jones and Vincent, yeah. What's his name? You know, the actor, you know him. He's one of your people. The guy, he's in a lot of movies. Character actor. Played Doc Ock.
I don't know his
Spider-Man.
Name.
Vincent. What's his name, MVP? You like your Hollywood.
We are going to look it up.
No, come on.
You mean Alfred Molina?
Alfred Molina. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Molina.
People don't know that about Raiders of the Lost Ark. That
he's in the beginning scene.
The opening yeah. scene yeah. Of Raiders of the Lost Ark, a movie that Eddie Spaghetti said is overrated.
Yeah, it's pretty mediocre. That's why I don't want to see Lethal Weapon and
doesn't
Die
hold
Hard.
Up,
it doesn't
spaghetti.
Hold up. It's kind of corny. It's make fun of these bad action movies today, but they're mindless, and I can watch 100 of them in a row.
Die Hard is not a bad movie. Lethal Weapon, I'll accept a conversation where it might be a bad movie, but Die Hard's a good movie.
Okay, I trust
all around, Die Hard's a good
movie. I sincerely
movie.
Trust Hank. I will watch it.
MVP. This is going to be, I'm most excited for you about this car ride.
Yeah.
I think what's going to be
with
good
all the boys.
Is, what's going to be nice is too, there's not going to be that much talking because all we're going to do is just listen to Dave's of Thunder and then the broadcast and then we'll listen back to ourselves on DBFP.
Right. That's my favorite.
And then in the back, we'll be recording the thick cast. Eddie, yeah. myself, and Maurice. We'll just sit in the back seat. There won't be quite enough room for the three of us, but it's fine. We'll squeeze in.
If you're excited for anything after the Super Bowl here on the DDFP, it should be for the debut of the thick cast.
We talked about
really
it for
better,
so long. Let's
guys
do
better
it.
Start figuring out what the content is, you know? What are you going to do? Can't just be you two eating fatty foods.
Talk about fatty foods we ate.
I think that's what we have to do is talk about yeah. our
always good, too. I like to put whipped cream when I have that. Me, too.
I was doing really well like the last 2 weeks, and this weekend just
I like to put
everything.
Gravy on mine.
On the Me birthday too. Cake?
Yeah, you should try it. I like that. That's commitment by Spaghetti. Yeah. He's fattening himself up, you know, yeah. for the debut of the show.
Yeah,
I encourage you to do this.
This weekend, I mean, majorly. And I was so good.
I
the
mean,
last
just
week.
Just as a as a
hey, all
as
kidding
a preview
aside,
of the thick cast, tell us what you some of the things you ate this weekend because you told me on the way in here, and I was impressed.
Saturday went to Barney's Beanery, great spot all throughout. There's a couple of them throughout Los Angeles. Went to Milk Bar, which is David Chang. He owns like Momofuku. It's like under his umbrella. It's a dessert place. I had
dessert place.
I had probably
to a dessert place.
Like Barney's Beanery had mozzarella sticks and a turkey club and nachos. And then I had a cookie, a piece of pie, and a piece of cake from Milk Bar. The next day, I woke up and went to the Griddle Cafe, which Money has talked about on this podcast before. It's a great pancake spot on Sunset.
And Wade Phillips
and then listen how he topped it off, because this is my favorite.
And then the day before, I went to Costco and picked up about $200 worth of food.
Costco? You went to Costco?
For
just
the games
to get some
on
stuff
Sunday.
In bulk.
And my girlfriend's birthday, which is also Hank's birthday as well. So we had food throughout the whole entire day. But I also went to Magnolia's Bakery, and got two cartons of banana pudding, and I got cupcakes, and then my roommate ordered a dozen donuts as well. It was really bad.
Because he lays it out on a timeline that only Quentin Tarantino could follow, it doesn't seem as bad.
It's a constant flow of food. Yeah, for 2 days.
No, but not just any food. It's not like a constant. I ate some carrot sticks.
Pudding. No. Then we went to the dessert store. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Why is it me?
Then I went to the dessert store and got pudding. All right.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm looking forward to Atlanta, Handsome Hank. So is your birthday as well?
It was, yeah. I just discovered yesterday. They scheduled those two conference championship games around my birthday. Very kind of them.
Really? On title game Sunday was your birthday
as well?
Well,
it used to be Super Bowl Sunday. Back when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite things about football was that
Did your parents lie to you and tell you that they were hosting the Bears?
The Bears won the Super Bowl on my birthday.
Really? Yeah. 2 weeks after your hero, Dan Marino stumbled, right?
The Dolphins lost the Super Bowl the day before my birthday, the year before that.
It was all part of the plan. I know everybody's going
to
move on to the two teams that are still standing here, but that is something in this week we should try to do. First of all, I told you. Oh, by the way, when's my parade, Handsome? I told you 7 weeks ago what was going to happen in Philadelphia. Now here we are. I want my parade for that. I told you that Foles and Wentz and all this would get bad, and it's bad. One. And two, the other thing that's bad is the facile sorts of, and I get the human attempt to be empathetic. Oh, wow, it's poor Chiefs fans. All these people, you want to make them feel better. And, listen, nothing to hang your head about. You have Patrick Mahomes. He's a great, your future is bright. I don't have to tell any Miami Dolphins fan about a sophomore QB performing on a historic level and coming up short. And, well, he'll be back.
A guy who I worked with in London when I very, very first worked for the NFL had worked with the NFL for a long time. And he told me a story of the morning after Super Bowl 19 when, obviously, the Pro Bowl was after the Super Bowl. They were in the airport in San Francisco, and he walked up to Dan Marino and said, "Great season. Sorry it didn't work out for you." So he said, "Don't worry, I'll be back." Marino said that to him.
Really?
Never happened. So there you go.
Pay attention, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Don't let that be you. No one wants to see that.
All right. As you said, he is the human asterisk.
Oh, somebody watching my stuff. I watched some of your material. That's so nice. Dave. Was that all right, Handsome?
It's pretty good.
Give it a grade.
It was an A minus.
A B? No, you could say B.
No, it was an A minus.
I can tell how you have to. You understand Dave's psyche, and so
a B double plus.
When you say A, you take it down by a grade and a half. So that you mean C plus? Okay,
no,
I'll really take it.
I really don't. And I mean, what I do is I also put it in the context for you.
Ah, fair. Fair. All right. Excellent stuff, Handsome Hank, Eddie Spaghetti, MVP behind the glass. Be on the lookout. Coming up before Super Bowl 53, our look back, our award show, the Vincy's, are going to be streaming live on Thursday. What time again, MVP?
6 p.m. Eastern.
6 p.m. Eastern. The Vincy's. We honor the best of the best game in American sports, the Super Bowl. That's coming at you in a whole bunch more noise. Until the next time. It's been a thin slice of heaven.